Would you please be opening your Bibles to Matthew, the 26th chapter. In just a few moments, we'll have a reading from that opening, Matthew 26. It is so good to see all of you here. We would humbly invite, encourage you to open up your Bibles at this portion of our service that we can study together from the Word of God, that we can grow in our understanding of His will, that our faith would be enhanced, that we might be able to leave here better than when we came. We can be improved as we take the Word of God deep into our hearts and we live it out to His glory, to His honor. You know, this past Monday, our nation observed Memorial Day, a time of remembrance, respect, a time of reflection upon those brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice, those who willingly gave their lives for our country, Memorial Day. And throughout the Old Testament, there is much talk about various memorials. And in the New Testament, the word memorial appears. However, it's only used three times in the New King James Version regarding two separate events. We want to go look at those two events today, see what lessons we can gain from those examples where that word memorial was used. And again, help us to be better. Help us to make improvement as necessary. The first example has to do with the anointing of Jesus at Bethany. Matthew 26, read with me verses 6 through 13. The Bible says, when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of a very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. In Mark's account, Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, very similar. Mark 14, picking up in verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he, that's Jesus, sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were very indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those key events leading up to the eventual crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see the place here, Jesus again at the house of Simon, a leper. And while he's there, this woman begins anointing Jesus with expensive oil. Some of those who are there on that occasion, some of those right there present, they just didn't understand. They didn't get it. They didn't appreciate this sacrificial, respectful act. They're calling what she's doing a waste. And appreciate how Jesus jumps to her defense. They say it's a waste. Jesus calls her act a good work. Jesus says she has done what she could. And Jesus on this occasion hints at his approaching death, saying she has prepared his body for burial. And then perhaps the most powerful endorsement of all, upon this woman and this kind deed when Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." A memorial. This woman, Jesus says, will be remembered. And she is. We're living proof of that right now. Here we are, nearly 2,000 years later. We're reading about her. We're talking about her. And I hope we are admiring her. And I hope we are desiring to emulate her. You think about her and her actions and perhaps her thought process on this occasion. There were no doubt gifts that she could not bring. There were no doubt talents that she could not exercise. But here was something. Here was something that this woman possessed. Something she could give. Here was something, yes, she could do. And she did it. Are we like-minded? Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse, it is written, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom." Where? In the grave where you are going. Let that humble you. Let that sober you up real good. You're not going to live forever. You have a window of opportunity in this life. It is brief. It is fleeting. It's for a moment. That which is worth doing, get after it. Do it. That's her example. Be ready always to make that sacrifice for Jesus. What sacrifices are you making for the Lord? She was willing to sacrifice greatly for the Lord. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You know the text. Never forget that we're to present our bodies how? A living, what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Get your mind right. Your works, your deeds, your actions will follow. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We live no longer for self, but we live for the Lord. We sacrifice for Him. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. Listen, Jesus died for all. Why? That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. I appreciate the opportunity we've already enjoyed this morning to teach and to admonish one another. The excellent selections that Brother Tim has led us in our singing today. We sang, "I gave my life for thee." Who did that? Jesus did that. Jesus gave His life. Jesus left heaven above for earthly night. Jesus brought so much down from heaven to us, for us. And really, as we reflect upon what He has done in the sacrifice that He has made, His giving, His leaving, His bringing, the song then challenges us. What is it we're giving? What is it we're giving up, sacrificing? What is it we're leaving behind for something so much better? What is it that we're bringing? Think about that. Give. Leave, bring. It's what this woman was doing. May we give. May we give our time, our talents, our treasures, our money. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Hebrews 13, 16 says, "We're to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." God is well pleased with what? Sacrifices that His children make to benefit others. We're to honor the Lord with our possessions, Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Yes, giving up being like those of Macedonia who gave so liberally, as Rodney pointed out earlier. Why were they so liberal in their financial, monetary giving? Because they had first given something greater. They had given themselves. Let that be true of us. Give our time, talent, treasure. What about leaving? May we leave? Jesus left something for our benefit. There are things we need to leave behind. We need to leave the fun, the family, the friends of the world, if and when they stand in the way of our commitment to God Almighty. You see it in James chapter 4 and verse 4. For those who play too much footsie with the world, those too much in step with the ways of the world, have we forgotten that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Dear brother, dear sister, every day we wake up, we have a choice to make. What are we going to choose? We're going to run with the world? Or we're going to run with the people of God? Was Moses back there long ago going to run with the Egyptians? Or would he run with, suffer with the people of God? Have to leave certain things behind to live. It'll be it's the Lord. Over in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, talking about leaving. Peter brought it up in Mark 10, 28. He said to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you. Oh Lord, we've made a great sacrifice. We've left so much and so many behind for your cause." But was he cheated because of that?
No, sir.
Was he any worse off due to that sacrifice? Not at all. To the contrary. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." Yes, dear friend, we can leave, and we ought to, leave the sinful past behind. But all the treasures in store, all the great things that God has for us to gain. And so we give, we leave, we bring sobriety, sorrow, submission to God the Father. And King Jesus. In the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Not near to everyone. Not enjoying this special closeness with all, with those of a broken heart, those of a contrite spirit. We sometimes sing the song, "Bring Christ your broken heart." So what he's wanting, bring it to him. He will mend it. He can make it whole. Dear friend, will you do that if you've not yet done it? Will you bring Christ your broken heart? He gave, he left, he brought. What are you going to give? What will you leave? What will you bring? And back here in Matthew 26, the anointing of Jesus at Bethany, Jesus said, "This will be told as a memorial to her." Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Master wants us to remember this woman. Our Lord would have us to value, to prize, to uphold her service. God help us go and do likewise. But secondly, over in Acts chapter 10, we find this key word memorial again with regards to the prayers and the alms of Cornelius. Acts 10, notice with me please, verses 1 through 6, Luke writes, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial. Cornelius, your prayers, your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now we know the rest of that story. The beautiful conversion. That Peter, the messenger of Christ, with the message of Christ, went to this interested, sincere seeker, preached to him. He and his household are obedient to the gospel, baptized into Christ. Salvation came to the house of Cornelius. The conversion of Cornelius. He's the first Gentile, we read, obeying the gospel. But even in his lost state, Cornelius, he was very religious. He was devout. He was God-fearing. He was benevolent. He was a just man. Had a commendable reputation. Though outside of Christ, yes, Cornelius was conscientious. He was hungry to know God. He was determined to please God. Now, we understand the Bible teaches that sinners do not enjoy the same privileges in prayer as the righteous. Go back to some fundamental text on this ideal. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the Bible says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. In Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. New Testament, John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. James chapter 5, verse 16, the effective fervent prayer of who? Of a righteous man avails much. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter 3:12, For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Whose prayers? The prayers of the righteous. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So prior to his obedience to the gospel, there is a real sense in which Cornelius was on the outside looking in. He still needed to hear words whereby he might be saved. Acts 11:14. And so don't misunderstand. He was a lost man, lost in sin. But the Bible says his prayers went up as a memorial to God. Chapter 10, verse 4. So how do we harmonize all that? I would suggest, first of all, remember, God is omniscient. Don't put limitations on God. God is all-knowing. The fact that God knew Cornelius prayed, that shouldn't surprise anyone. But such does not imply that he was heard in the same way that God hears and answers his children on a regular basis. The angel said, your prayers have come up for a memorial before God. I appreciate what Johnny Stringer writes in his commentary of the book of Acts. He says, quote, A memorial is a reminder. It brings a person or thing before one's mind. Like sacrificial offerings, the alms and prayers of Cornelius had served as a memorial. They had brought Cornelius before God's mind in a favorable way. Consequently, God would grant Cornelius the wonderful opportunity to be the first Gentile to enjoy the blessings of the gospel. I believe that's exactly what we're seeing there. Now granted, later Peter does tell Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, verse 31. And so God took note of it. And it kept Cornelius and the character of this man before God's mind. But to use Cornelius as justification for sinners to expect an open prayer line that they can have fellowship and be in fellowship with God as the righteous are, that's to misuse or to abuse the example. But the thought of a memorial brought up before God, what reminders are you bringing up? What reminders are you sending to God Almighty? Does God know that you love Him? Does He know that? Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. With how much? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Dear friend, by your words, by your actions, by your obedience, does God know that you love Him? Does God know that you want to serve Him? Is that being brought up before Him? We're familiar with Joshua 24 and verse 15, that great statement of faith and confidence. Joshua, he made it clear, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me remind you of this truth. We are either a servant of the Lord or we're a servant of Satan. Don't deceive yourself. Try to find some comfortable, happy ground in between the two. Well, you know, I've not yet obeyed the gospel yet. I'm not really fully serving Christ, but I'm kind of closer. No. If you're not giving your all to the Lord, you're not with the Lord at all. And by default, then you're a servant, you're a slave of sin, a slave of Satan. God knows that. You know that. What are you going to do about that? What are you sending up to God? Does God know that you honor His Word? Isaiah 66, verse 2, the Lord says, on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles, where? At my word. What would that look like today? The one that God would look upon in a favorable way? It's the one who, with regards to the Word of God, he studies it, he yields to it, he accurately handles it. The one who has proper respect for authority. Does God know that about you? Does God know that you respect His people? Romans 12 and verse 10. Christians are to be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Sadly, love among brethren is lacking in some churches. Let it not be named here. Respect your brethren. Take time for them. Invest in them. And as Steve pointed out in our excellent Bible class this morning, all of them, there will be those naturally that we will be more gravitated to, but don't ignore the rest. Reach out. Influence for good. Encourage. God will know that. Does God know that you confess Him and His Son? Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus said, whosoever confesses me, therefore before men, him will I also confess before the Father which is in heaven. And whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Again, we choose every day. Appreciate so much Rodney's good words this past Wednesday night. Choose every day. With regards to Jesus, He says, follow me. Two words, follow me. Going to do that? Follow me. Here Jesus says, confess me. Are you sending that up? Like Cornelius, before God. Does He know that about you? Does He know that you're striving for eternal life in heaven? If you are, He knows it. And if you're not, He knows that too. Luke 13, 24. Luke chapter 13, the 24th verse, Jesus again tells us to strive. That word strive there means try hard. Fight for. Make an effort. Exert. Endeavor. Strain. It's giving diligence. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. What are you bringing up as a memorial before God? Does He know you're striving for heaven? If all of these are representative of your mindset, your attitude, God knows it. Again, if not, don't fool yourself. He knows that too. What things are you sending up to God as a memorial? Memorial Day. We've observed another one. Every first day of the week is a memorial day for Christians. In keeping with the New Testament pattern, we partake of the bread, the fruit of the vine, in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died so that we might live. So that we might live for Him here on earth. So that we might live with Him eternally in heaven. Praise God for His love, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness in Christ that makes that real and possible. Dear friend, you want it? Eternal life in heaven? Go to the Lord on His terms and you can receive. If you're here today, you've never submitted your life in obedience to the will of God, we would encourage you, take advantage of this opportunity. Come believing that Jesus is the Christ. If you would repent, turn from your sins, confess your faith in Christ. We'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Go on and be faithful unto death. Look forward to the crown of life. If I'm talking to a brother, a sister, child of God, you obeyed in times past, but you've not continued faithfully. You have an urgent need. You need to repent of your sin, confess your fault, pray God for forgiveness. If we can assist any in their obedience this day, we bid you come right now. So together we stand, and as we sing.